So why did you not stay at Forest after the loan spell?
Well, to be fair, I had more or less everything agreed that I would if Billy had a sorry if he'd have it up first and foremost. But if Billy had stayed, I probably would have. But I think Billy lost his job that summer as well, and I ended up back at Middlesbrough, which was never going to be for me. I knew my time was up. I had to go. I think that. I wasn't enjoying football. I had now been back to enjoying it at Nottingham Forest. I'd have loved to. I went there because, I mean, what a club it is. Anybody that's been part of anything down there will know what I'm talking about. You go from Rangers, the history, the everything that comes, the pressure, everything that comes with playing a massive club, to going to Middlesbrough where it wasn't really like that.
Quite empty
It was
stadium.
empty. But at the end of the day, it was empty for a reason. It was empty because we weren't good enough. If we'd went down there and played well, the fans would have been there because they've shown that this season. They've got the Premier League 30,000. It was just two total different places. But then you find yourself back in a city that's just football driven. The history's there. You pull up at the City Ground, the European trophies are there. Everything, the history's back with the club. The people inside that are want success. And to be part of that again was massive, and for me that I got a spring back in my step and I wanted more of that, and I was hoping that it was going to go there, but as I said, it wasn't to be. Find myself back at Middlesbrough and the Turkish ones come calling again, and I just felt as if
get the speedos on.
I had I'd turned it down the year before. I'd spoke to Kenny. He's like, don't go, you'll hate it, do this, do that. But me being me, that pig-headed way that I thought, feck it, I'm going. But I should have read the signs right away.
So would you have not stayed at Nottingham Forest?
I would
Would
have.
it only have been if Billy Davis stayed? Would you not have stayed
I
if
would
you
have.
went there?
Well, if I'd have been offered anything,
So
but I
you
think
weren't offered after
the
you
club
went?
was changing totally
Right.
then because I think Billy left. But a few others left as well.
Do you think you should still be managing Billy Davis? Do you think you should?
Oh, 100%.
Excellent.
100%. I've said it before, a fantastic manager. Both sides of it, fantastic on the pitch, fantastic off it with the players. But I'm sure he will get back in somewhere soon. And I hope he does because, as I said, he's a fantastic coach, a fantastic individual as well. He is a nice guy. I think there's a lot of people. There's a lot of criticism gets aimed at him and that, but I think when you actually sit down and have a conversation with him, I was fortunate enough to do it, more or less on a daily basis, you can learn so much. And I think you only need to look at a lot of the Nottingham Forest players, the way they speak about him after that, to realise how good he was.
So Turkey, when did the alarm bell, sorry, start ringing?
I flew out.
Fake football strips.
I flew out, got a tour round about the city. There's a beach here. There's a beach. Not bad. We've got a beach. I goes. It was fucking. It was man made. It was the middle of the city. There was just sand chucked in. There was a wee river, and it was that was a beach. But for me, it was deep in the middle of Turkey. You get a tour round, I go back home, and then all of a sudden. We started negotiating the contract, we've agreed everything. And then the manager who signs me is in the jail.
He is a Turkey.
By the way, the manager that signed me to Turkey, I've still never spoke to the guy. I've still never spoke to him.
What was it, a weekend?
A long weekend. No, I think when you look at when you go back, the Turkish league was suspended for a few months by the time because of the corruption of it. He was part of one of the ones. In fact, I think it was corrupt deal that got me there in the first place. He must have been to take me. But I should have read at the end that but when you're going, no, he's coming back, fantastic, this and that. But so I said, I've still never met the guy. Still
wow.
never, I've still never to this day met the manager that signed me in Turkey. Then the way he wanted to play football was. Was 4-4-2, 4-3-3 football, free flowing football attacking. And I thought, no, I'll have a bit of that, you know, because I felt as if any time I had played, you know, in a team that was creating chances and scoring goals, I would be scoring goals. So I thought, yeah, let's go for it. You know, we had some big players there. You know, a lot of people might not recognise them right now, but if you to go and look back at, you know, Diamante Camara, who was at Celtic, Fulham, he came over. There was a guy in the middle of the pitch, Pele, no, the real Pele, but that was it. But Jose Mourinho had him at Inter Milan, took him from Porto to Milan. He was at Portsmouth as well for a while.
I remember him, how I left that.
Fantastic player. There was Rodrigo Teo, a Chilean internationalist who played at the World Cup. Was at Sporting Lisbon for years. Erkan Zengin, who was a Turkish guy but a Swedish international as well. There was loads of internationals, and even the young boys at the club as well, who came through. You know, Fenerbahce ended up signing them for like 10, 12 million. Oh. Galatasaray signed a couple of them as well. So it was a good squad. It was a good team. But when I went, the manager's coming back. Then we got another couple of weeks off. We went to Belgium, done a training camp. We then got another couple of weeks off because the match was all going to get sorted and everything. The league would be up and running and everything. It was delayed. The whole league was delayed. And then all of a sudden, a German manager was appointed, Michael Skibbe. And I mean, I had nothing against the guy. I mean, it was just, he came in and it was 4-5-1, you know, and the striker had to run a bit like a madman. That wasn't me. You know, and I only started one game. And I think I played 76 minutes in my whole time in Turkey. So I think pound for pound, it was one of the most expensive, worst signings you've ever made. But for me, it was, I'll look at it now and it was an education for me in terms of forget the football, the life. I think it totally changed me in terms of looking at life. You know, I mean, my wee translator, for example, I'll tell you a story about that. There was maybe 20, 25 rooms in that. And you know, as I said, we had a big squad. Every player had their own room. We'd go and train in the morning, in your bed in the afternoon, and then train again at night. You know, but there was a lot of English speaking guys there that couldn't speak Turkish. So we needed the translators. And the club booted the wee translator out. He had to go and find his own accommodation, but they weren't even paying him. So, you know, where's he meant to sleep? Where's he meant to, you know, I had my flat, and I'd say to him to come in there and stay because my family weren't with me anyway. You know, so me and the wee man were in there. But it was brought in. If it wasn't for him, I would probably have been home a lot earlier than what I was. You know, in terms of even going to restaurants, going, you know, for simple things. You know, I think a lot of people think, Turkey, you know, even every foreign club, every foreign country, you always think, oh, I've been on holiday there. It's nothing like that. You know, you go to these, it's all English based, it's all, you know, to accommodate tourists. But when you go deep into places, it's nothing like that. Nobody spoke English. It was difficult, but as I said, for me, it was a learning experience. And it was something that, I wish I'd performed on the pitch and done well and everything, but I wouldn't have changed the 5-6 months I had. But it was quite funny. We're training one day and, you know, it's notorious for the gangsters and men in black. Training and the next thing, like, so the driveway's up here and you come in, the training ground was here. We're all out training, the wee translator's at the side of the pitch. I'm running round the pitch with Camaro, we're warming up. There's two big black cars come in. Five or six guys jump out of them, all dressed in black. And I'm like, Camaro, if somebody's getting it here, they're going to disappear, blah, 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 blah. Next thing, my wee translator, Chris! My face is just chalk white. Stoats in, goes up the stair. It was some mob. They were trying to take me to Kazakhstan. They were trying to sign me to go there. Like, obviously, the owners from the club in Eskishire must have knew them. They're trying to get me off the wage bill to go there, blah, 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 blah. But needless to say, I was back in that training pitch in 2 minutes. but you know, it's no, you know, when you see, you know, it was four or five guys getting all dressed in black, mm-hmm. You shit yourself.
Mm-hmm, of course.
You know, even though you're training with a group, I think that, you know, because, you know, see in these countries, you know, the guys that are powerful are really powerful. You know, as soon as they speak, you know, when I look at a lot of people, a lot of the young players in Turkey, I mean, they're not getting paid, but they can't escape it because
Did you have any problems like that?
No,
did you always?
No, I mean, I never. That's why I left. You know, but I ended up taking to Cass and winning the case here. But I think, you know, for a, because they've got some top players there, in terms of the youth ones, but they're never going to, because you need to play X amount of national games to get out of the country, for people to get, you know, your passports and stuff like that to get out. So for the young player there, you know, it just becomes the norm not to get paid. Because if you go and upset, if you go to the Turkish Federation, you go to CAS, UEFA, they all speak to each other. I don't sign him because he took us here looking for his money. Because, you know, and do you know something? It's pretty clever in the way they do it, in terms of they put breakfast on for you. They've got your bed. They've got stuff at the, you know, you've got your lunch, you've got your dinner. There's a chef there all the time. If you want anything else made, you can just go down and see him. You know, so even if the young players were going to the club and saying, oh, look, I need money to pay this or that, why? You've got your food there, you've got your bed there, you've got this. You know, and they didn't take, you know, for the foreign ones, it was a bit different because they knew there. I mean, to be fair, they'd offered money, you know, during the 3 month period but you just knew that something wasn't right and it was time to get out of there. It didn't end well, but as I said, I was delighted to go on that plane to Heathrow, that's for sure.
Heathrow and then straight over to America. Portland Timbers, do you always fancy it, the MLS?
But I went to Houston first.
Right.
I got a phone call to go over there. Dominic Kinnear was the manager there at the time. Flew there January time. Off the back of that Scottish Cup final, it'd been absolutely roasting. I'm sitting thinking to myself, I don't know if this is going to get in too well. So, flies there, building a new stadium. Come on, we'll go and see the new stadium. Towards the end of January, thought, shirt on, me jumper in the thing, there, here we go. Gets down the stairs in the hotel, walks outside. Before I gets to the stadium, right down there, dripping in sweat. Turned to my agent, I says, let's go on this plane. I says, I can't play here, it's January. We need to get back home. Roasting. Roasting. I've never, and that was so-called winter time. When I went and signed with Portland and went back, I would never have lasted. You know, I mean, I was, what a decision it was. They're starting training at, you know, 7:30, 8 in the morning there to try and miss the heat. I just, I mean, even walking about was roasting.
Was it a nice life in that over there though?
Unbelievable. Uh-huh. Portland was a great city. I loved every minute of it, to be fair. You know, I think when John Spencer took me there, started well. You know, I felt good.
Couple of logs a week.
Couple. Nearly bought a tree. You know, it was good. You know, I think the whole club was going somewhere. You know, the owner, Merritt Paulson, was prepared to back it. You know, and then I don't know what happened, to be honest. I don't know. You know, I came back home to get married, and then the family was coming out. And when I got back, Spenny was like, he says, look, I would watch what you're doing because...
It's going to get hotter.
There was just a change. Uh-huh. The following week, Spenny got sacked. And I phoned home because it was summertime. They were coming out for the whole of the summer holidays. Hopefully get a house, get settled because there's still another year left. And I left a sour taste in my mouth as well, regarding the fact that, you know, we were only 3 points off the playoffs at the time with a couple of games in hand. We hadn't been playing great, but we were winning. You know, and I think that a lot of people inside the club had started listening to a lot of people, maybe from outside, in terms of, oh, you need to be doing this, you need to be doing that, and blah, 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 blah. And there was influences that I think made the owners change, you know, what was going on. And for me, after that, it was a write-off. You know, I think that I found myself out of the team. In fact, I tell a lie, I didn't. When the GM took over, we played the Galaxy at home. We lost the game 5-3, but I managed to score a couple of goals. Managed to get David Beckham's top. Will you sign that? Yes, no problem. Come back, CHRIS. My name's KRIS. I've still got it, so it's not going to change. I'll try and change that C and H to a K. But
Was he gorgeous?
He's gorgeous. Just about as good looking as you.
Cheers, mate. Not as good as Gareth, obviously.
No. So to play against those guys was unbelievable, and I think until you've experienced the whole American thing that you don't realise how good it is, because you know you get everything, the stadiums are packed. What annoys me is you listen to people, especially back here, saying, "Oh, the standard's no great, this and that." I tell you what, go and try it, because you forget that one week you're freezing temperatures, the next week you're roasting, the next week your altitude, there's everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, Seattle Sounders are playing in front of 50,000 every week. The women's team in Portland are playing in front of 15,000 every week. Oh. You know, there's only Rangers and Celtic in Scotland get more than that. Mm-hmm. So it's to try and put things into perspective. You know, the money's not an object to the whole MLS. They'll bring in players, they'll spend it big, but fantastic setup. And I know everybody you keep going on about. Will it kick off? I mean, I genuinely do think it is starting to. They're starting to produce youngsters. The boy Dalek Nagbe that came over to Celtic, fantastic player. They will start to produce youngsters, and I think once that happens, you know, a lot of people will look at it and say that it's a retirement home for a lot of people. I think it's changed. I think it's a lot of youngsters going over there now, and for me, it was another experience, especially front of the cameras. Because I was always one where I was very shielded in what I said to a lot of people. And I went over there, and straight after the game finishes, I mean, 15 minutes. So, straight after it, you go in, you can get showered and everything. The press are allowed in 15, 20 minutes after the game, they can come into the dressing room. One of the boys beside me sitting doing an interview. Sorry, I tell a lie, I had done an interview. We'd get beat and I had done an interview and I wasn't very good. It was this and that, usual, just raging. Uh-huh. And the next thing the boy beside me starts getting into, no, we should have done this, we should have done that, we should have done this and blah, 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 blah. He's there for about 15 minutes. And I'm sitting there and I say, I look like an idiot. You know, in terms of, that's the way I was back home. Uh-huh. It was totally different over there. Then I did a mattress advert, it was brilliant. But,
were your gear on or off?
But the amount of time I was in, by the time I was in there, it was getting off by the end of it. It took 10 hours to get it done. But you know, I think when I look back there as well, I thought to myself, you know what, you can use the media, it can totally change the way that a lot of people look at you and think of you. So for me, when I came back from America, that was something that I wanted to do, because I felt as if from there I'd learned so much. And I think using the Turkey thing, using America, it totally changed me as a person. And I'm not afraid to admit that. So